namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto, chapter 8, entitled Prayers by Queen Kunti, text 35. Bhavesmin klishyamananam.
Bhavesmin klishyamananam.
Avidya kama karmibhi.
Avidya kama karmibhi.
Shravana smarana rani.
Shravana smarana rani.
Karishya nitya kechana.
Karishya nitya kechana.
Bhave.
In the material creation.
Asmin. This. Klishyamananam.
Of those who are suffering from.
Avidya.
Nescience.
Kama.
Desire.
Karma bhi.
By execution of fruitive work.
Shravana,
hearing.
Smarana,
remembering.
Arhani,
worshipping.
Krishya, may perform.
Iti,
thus.
Kichana,
others.
Translation.
And yet others say that you appear to rejuvenate the devotional service of hearing, remembering, and worshipping, and so on, in order that the conditioned soul, suffering from material pangs, might take advantage and gain liberation. Purport. In the Srimad Bhagavad Gita, the Lord asserts that he appears in every millennium just to reestablish the way of religion. The way of religion is made by the Supreme Lord. No one can manufacture a new path of religion, as is the fashion for certain ambitious person. The factual way of religion is to accept the Lord as the supreme authority, and thus render service unto him in spontaneous love. A living being cannot help but render service because he's constitutionally made for that purpose. The only function of the living being is to render service to the Lord. The Lord is great, and the living beings are subordinate to him. Therefore, the duty of the living beings is to serve him only. Unfortunately, the illusioned living beings, out of misunderstanding only, become servants of the senses by material desire. This desire is called avidya or nescience, and out of such desire the living being makes different plans for material enjoyment, centered about a perverted sex life. He therefore becomes entangled in the chain of birth and death by transmigrating into different bodies on different planets under the direction of the Supreme Lord. Unless, therefore, one is beyond the boundary of this nescience, one cannot get free from the threefold miseries of material life. That is the law of nature. The Lord, however, out of his causeless mercy, because he is more merciful to the suffering living beings than they expect, appears before them and renovates the principles of devotional service comprised of hearing, chanting, remembering, serving, worshipping, praying, cooperating, and surrendering unto him. Adoption of all the above-mentioned items, or any of them, can help a conditioned soul to get out of the tangle of nescience and thus become liberated from all material sufferings created by the living being, illusioned by the external energy. This particular type of mercy is bestowed upon the living being by the Lord in the form of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Chintamani prakarasatma sukalpa vriksha laksavritesu surabir abhipalayantam lakshmi sahasra satasam brahma sevyamanam govindam adipurisham tamaham bhajam. Chintamani is the substance of spirit. That substance of spirit is of such a nature that whatever comes in contact with spirit becomes spiritualized. That is the unique feature of transcendence, and that is the most wonderful feature of transcendence. Because in whatever way we become touched by spiritual substance, our life transforms. Whether it is Krishna prasadam in the form of foodstuffs offered to the Lord, or whether it is some water that has been offered to the Lord and is thrown upon us, or whether it is the tadiya, it is said, aradhanam sarvesam vishnur aradhanam param tasmat parataram devi tadiyanam samarchanam. Whether it is the tadiya, that means all the paraphernalia that are related to the Lord, just like the river Ganges. Why? Why for millennia and millennia, for many, many thousands of years, have people been going to the Ganga early in the morning, even when it's ice cold in the Himalayas in the north? Ice cold. Why? Why have parents taken their children and pushed them in the ice cold water in the morning? Why? For generation after generation, why? Because the water of the Ganga has washed the lotus feet of the Lord. And the reddish kumkum of the lotus feet of Lord Vamanadev, who expanded himself and with his lotus foot cracked the shell of the universe, and then the water of the causal ocean entered into the universe. Because the universes, more than one, many, are clustering together and floating on the causal ocean, the Karana Dakshai, or also known as Viraja. And there, on that, from that ocean, through the crack, only one drop came into the universe. And that drop washed the lotus feet of the Lord and took a reddish color. And therefore Ganga has a reddish color. And thus Ganga remains always, always transcendental and pure. And any time we take our bath in the Ganga, we get in touch with transcendental substance, the dust of the feet of the Lord. And the result is that bathing in the Ganga will always elevate whoever takes his bath. And so the Ganga is tadiya. Tadiya means these are the paraphernalia related to the Lord that then also become transcendental. And it says those paraphernalia are emphasized even more than the Supreme Lord Himself. Why is it so? Because they give us direct access. The Ganga is here in our world. Krishna, where is Krishna? Have you seen him? Where is he?
Everywhere. Everywhere.
Everywhere. Are you sure? How do you know? Can you confirm it? What's your proof? How do you know? It's not mythology. Then? What you say? I say, I don't know. It's true, I didn't see him. Then, how can you say he exists? No, we can say. Because we see that people transform by worshipping him. The form of the deity, the statue, they say, the statue. Yes, but if you worship that statue for your life, for many years, you become transformed. You become a saintly person. How is it that we see such pujaris who became so exalted by worshipping the statue? Some proof we have. Some proof is there. So the tadiya, they are available to us in this world immediately. They don't create that distance between us where we have to wait for the Lord to reveal Himself. The tadiya is here right now. We can That mercy of the Lord is spread everywhere throughout this world. Therefore, that's even more important. We connect with that because that's on our current level. What more can we do? We have fallen into materialistic life. We are identifying with the body, with the place of our birth. We are conditioned now. And it's difficult to rise above this conditioning. Very difficult. So many desires. We want so many things. We are captured within bodies, and these bodies dictate. Yes. The bodies push, the senses push. Vacha vegam manasa krodha vegam jiva vegam udara pasta vegam etan vegam yuvisa heta dhira. So, pushings of the mind, pushings of anger, pushings of the senses, tongue, belly, genital, all these pushings are driving us along in the world. But, anyway, here Kunti Devi, in her prayer, is raising interesting points. There's a series of verses. She is saying, and I'm going to read them. I sometimes read these verses on Janmashtami, because it's about the appearance of the Lord. And it said, some say that the unborn is born for the glorification of pious kings, and others say that he's born to please King Yadu, one of your dearest devotees. You appear in his family as sandalwood appears in the Malaya hills. So, yes, Krishna appears in different dynasties. There is the Surya Vamsa, and there is the Chandra Vamsa. Sometimes the Lord appears in the Chandra Vamsa, in the lineage of kings who are descending from the moon god. Other times, Krishna is appearing in lineages that are in the Surya Vamsa, that are coming in the lineage of the sun god. And in this way, these personalities are glorified. These, and many great kings are glorified. We read in the ninth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a lot of descriptions of dynasties. And when you're reading that ninth canto, it just goes on and on and on. And it describes, and this one got married to that one, and then they had four sons, and those got married again to so and so, and they begot children, and it just goes on and on and on, page after page. And it's all personalities that we don't know. And the mind goes, maybe I can skip these pages and jump to the next chapter. Yes. But no. When we read chapters of the dynasty of Amsuman, we are blessed, right? Because these are all great personalities. Each one of them is a great pure devotee. And just hearing the name of a pure devotee is a blessing. There is transcendental potency.
So while we are sleeping, hearing the dynasty,
meanwhile we are getting purified. We are getting purified. Therefore, Bhagavatam is like that. Every word is transcendental. Srila Prabhupada had so much faith. He was saying, when you place the Bhagavatam in your house becomes a temple. I have one disciple. He is from the Czech Republic, and it said like his father, he liked to read. So in the house, there was big bookshelves. One wall was all books. Right? So when he was a kid, small kid, he looked at all those books. But on the top shelf, way on the top shelf, there was one book. It was effulgent. He could see it. As a child, he saw it. This book is shining. And he was always looking up at the shelf at that shining book. What is that? But, you know, as it was just there. It was, because when you're a kid, you just accept things as they are, you know, as part of the reality. So there was just bookshelf, shining book. And then he never, ever looked at that book until he was about 20. And then it was the Bhagavad Gita. It was Prabhupada's book. And
Then when he took it off the shelf, then he woke up spiritually and he joined. So, but all along the book was shining on the shelf. That is a fact. These books are not ordinary. These books, they transform. Because it is that Chintamani Prakarasatmasakalpa Vriksha, it is that spiritual substance which has that transforming nature. And it is like that. So I was reading these various verses. Some say that the unborn is born for the glorification of pious kings, and others say he's born of King Yadu. Krishna is known as appearing in the Yadu dynasty. Others say that since both Vasudev and Devaki prayed for you, you've taken birth of their son. They did so much austerity, and because of the Krishna reciprocates with the austerity of his devotee. So that's the reason he appeared. So all these are true. Others say that the world, being overburdened like a boat at sea, is much aggrieved, and that Brahma, who's your son, prayed for you, and so you've appeared to diminish the trouble. Also true. And yet others say that you've appeared to rejuvenate the devotional service of hearing, remembering, worshipping, and so on, in order that the conditioned soul suffering from material pangs might take advantage and gain liberation. That is also true. So Krishna appears for many reasons. It is said in the Nectar of Devotion that Krishna is Daksha, very expert. He's very expert because he can fulfill many purposes by one act. In one act, he fulfills many purposes. That's Krishna. Krishna is very expert. So Krishna has many purposes when he appears. And one of these purposes is, the main purpose is to deliver the conditioned souls. For himself, what need does Krishna have to appear in this material world? Why would he appear here? You think that Krishna is wandering in Vrindavan, in the forest, in the spiritual world, and thinking, boy, is it boring here? It's time for a trip, you know? I need a vacation every day. Herding the cows and calves, same thing, you know. It's hard work, you know, really. Sometimes these calves, they run away. You got to go miles into the forest to find them and catch them. And you blow your flute and they don't come. The lamentation of a cowherd boy. Every moment is blissful. Every exchange is ecstatic in the spiritual world. When Krishna blows his flute, tears come to the eyes of the cows. I mean, it's such amazing flute playing that, like, it's just overwhelming. The cows cannot imagine. When they hear that sound, it's just like that sound. And they have to go near that sound. And as they come closer to the sound, it gets worse. The emotions get more overwhelming. And it gets so bad that the cows can no longer deal with it. Then they stand on their hind legs, and with their front legs they cover their ears. But Krishna plays so loud that still they hear the sound of that flute. Then they almost die. Then the cows take a blade of grass in their mouths as a sign of humility. And they, not because they're hungry, but as a sign of humility. And they beg Krishna, please stop. And then Krishna doesn't stop. He keeps on playing that flute. And the result is the cows freeze. They freeze. They become like statues. They just get stunned. They can only stand there. And like, it stops. The brain stops. They can no longer think, they can no longer move on, they just stand there, just everything stops, systems shut down. And just gazing at Krishna. In this way, Krishna
He benedicts the entire universe. Oh. So many living beings have no idea. No idea what is going on. Oh. When the Lord appears in the universe, the entire atmosphere changes. Oh. When Krishna appears, it's on the Ashtami, on the eighth day. But the moon, because Krishna is appearing in the Chandravamsa, in that lineage of the moon god. Therefore the moon, out of deference, is offering its best feature, the full moon, for the appearance of Krishna. Therefore, although it's only the eighth day, there's a full moon at the time of Krishna's appearance. And all auspicious stars begin to accumulate in the sky. For those who don't know so much about Vedic astronomy, there are various planets, and these planets are rotating in the sky and are going through different houses. These are the main planets, such as Venus, Mars, Jupiter, Mercury, and so on. Then, beyond the planets, at a greater distance, there are the stars. And these are the nakshatras. These stars, they have an effect on the planet. Just like in some sports, I guess in cricket you can also do it. You can give a spin to the ball. And if you don't just hit the bat, but you pull it a little. Can you do that in cricket? We can do it in tennis. I don't play cricket in my country, in Holland. We never play cricket. But anyway, there are sports where one can give a spin to a ball. Yes. Not only hit it forward, but it goes in a curve ball. So, like this, the nakshatras, they give an additional effect upon the position of the planet. They give it like a spin, the effect. So, in that way, when Krishna appeared, the nakshatra Rohini appeared, and suddenly the entire planet became auspicious. Suddenly everything became peaceful. Everyone felt peaceful. If there are other nakshatras, for example, there is Kritika, which is a nakshatra. When that nakshatra appears, the atmosphere becomes tense and fiery, and everyone feels a little agitated, and everyone feels like, Kritika is the nakshatra. So the nakshatras, they have an effect on the atmosphere. At the time when Krishna appeared, everything became very peaceful, and everyone suddenly started to feel some feelings of goodness and some inclination towards spirituality. Just Krishna's appearance relieved the planet from ignorance, from the deep, dark, dense ignorance that we have sunken into, and that lead us to all kinds of degraded, sinful, foolish activities that harm others and harm ourselves. So how nice Krishna appeared to rejuvenate the devotional service. Tadvak visargo janatapa viplavo yasmin pratislokana badavati api namani anantasya yasun kitani yat srimanti krinanti gayanti matbhakta. Srimanti gayanti sadhava matbhakta is from another verse. So this is about that this transcendental sound vibration can bring about a revolution in the misdirected life of a misguided civilization. And that means everywhere in the world. Everywhere. We are misguided, misdirected. Even the Vedic literature, those who are followers of the Vedic literature, they are also bewildered. Srila Rupa Goswami describes in Madhya Lila chapter 19, he says that out of many living beings, there are
there are different species, and finally he comes to the human form of life. He said there are very few who take birth in the human form of life, and of those who take birth in the human form of life, very few are civilized, and very few are following the Vedic literatures. But of those who are following the Vedic literatures, most are only rendering lip service, he says. Now this is 500 years ago, when things were obviously better than they are today. So 500 years ago it was only lip service. What is it now? God, I don't know.
What's left?
So what is left? Not so much left. And you know, it's like, and the world around us is so strong. And it starts when you go to school. You go to school and the kids and in the school are all just and then after a while you come home and you also go and Maya begins from early stages of life, before we really think. Before we think. And we do so many things before we think. And then later, after we've already picked up so many things that we never thought about it, but we just did because everybody did, then we start to think, why am I doing these things? And then you realize, this is not beneficial. This is not a good thing. Smoking. Big clouds of smoke. Coughing. Cost money. Bad for health. Is that a good thing? It's not very smart. But people are doing. Also in India. I'm sure in Japan also. I never went to Japan. In Japan, people must smoke like chimneys. They don't. I don't believe it. She's cheating. I think in Japan, some people also cheat. Yeah, I think so. Anyway, so, like this, the whole world's become corrupted. But then there are devotees. Wherever they're from, there are devotees. Everywhere. Pritivityachiyatanagaradigram sarvata prachara hoyami maranam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu answered that in every town and village, my holy name will be chanted. So Prabhupada said, that means that in every town and village there are devotees. See, that was Prabhupada's conclusion. Not that means that we should do big propaganda to every town and village. No, no. Prabhupada's point was, in every town and village there are devotees. But they are asleep. Nitya Siddha Krishna Prem Sadhya Kabunai Sravanari Sudha Chitta Karyo Udai. But by hearing and chanting, they will be awakened. And the Harinam party goes through the street, and the people hear the chanting. They stick fingers in their ears. We chant a little louder. Louder, everyone. A little louder. So then, surely, they will all become purified. So, in so many ways, this transcendental devotional service reaches, and as soon as it has touched something, that becomes transformed. Sometimes not complete. There are people who do not follow the four regulative principles, but they like Krishna, and these people they bring others in touch with Krishna, who may start following principles. So sometimes you see that people carry Krishna to others, although they themselves are not completely following Krishna's directions. They don't live by Krishna Upadesh. Krishna Upadesh means the way that Krishna says we should live. They don't all live according to Krishna Upadesh. But it doesn't matter. Even one who doesn't live according to Krishna Upadesh can still know about Krishna and pass on knowledge of Krishna to others. And bring others to Krishna Upadesh. That is the potency. So this Krishna consciousness will spread from person to person. Person to person, traditionally. It's like that. It's like one human being touches another human being, somehow or other. Or an animal also touched by some prasadam. Right? Yes. One can purify all the animals, the plants, give them maha water. Yes. Like this. We can benedict so many living beings, undoubtedly. It's very nice. The most powerful way is to benedict people by the chanting of the holy name. Because that's complete, then everything is there. Because within the holy name, the entire relationship of pure devotional service is present. Golokir Premadana Harinam Sankirtana. The love of Golok is present. Krishna is all attractive. Therefore Krishna, he manifests all his transcendental opulences. He manifests all his potency. Everything is there in the name Krishna. Nothing lacking. Nothing. Do not think, oh, this name is some sort of process. And then we, later, from that mantra, you get the result. No, everything is there. Everything is complete. The whole spiritual world, all opulence is there. Then, Hare, a form of Hara, the vocative form of Hara, and which is referring to the Ladini Shakti, or the pleasure-giving potency, that which can give pleasure to Krishna, which is devotional service. So the Ladini Shakti is brought into the world, this activity that gives pleasure to Krishna. It's about activity. The soul is always active. Even when we do nothing, then we decide to do nothing. Yeah. Some days it's weekend. Oh, it's going down. It's weekend and I'm going to do nothing. Yeah. Nothing. But that's not so easy. And that's not so easy. They have some religions where Sunday is the day of the Lord and you're not allowed to do anything. Actually, in the where I grew up, the neighbors on the other side of the road, they belonged to that religion. And the kids were not allowed to do anything on Sunday. The whole family. Sunday is the day of the Lord, can't do anything. So they would stay in the house and wouldn't come out. Even when it was beautiful weather, was not allowed to come out. I thought it was ridiculous. Yeah? I really did. I thought this is totally insane. And therefore I was challenging it by throwing my ball in the garden. Yeah? And then I would go in the garden and I see the kids inside, behind the glass, looking at me. And I would just bounce my ball and walk out of the garden. And then 5 minutes later, I would throw it in the garden again. And then if I got some ice cream, then I would go in that garden and lick the ice cream in front of them. Just to challenge that religious conception. I mean, how come you cannot do anything? What is this? Is this the process of devotional service? Is this religion? It cannot be. It doesn't make sense. It didn't make sense to me. And it doesn't. Because the soul is always active. And even when you do nothing, you have to tell yourself, do nothing. Sit still. So then we're very busy sitting still. Very busy. Just like, I don't know if they do that a lot in Australia, but in Europe you have a lot of these people that dress up in fancy costumes or something, and they stand like a statue.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you got those guys, eh? Just see, they even made it to down under. Yeah, lots of them. Yeah. And then they move when you throw some money in the box. You know. Get your picture taken. Yeah. So they stand like statues, but that's hard work. It's not easy to stand like a statue. But the soul is never inactive. The soul is never asleep. There's never a time that the soul is doing nothing. The soul is always active, and therefore the soul must be always engaged in devotional service, kirtanya sadhari, 24 hours a day. Not just, I put in my service, no, I put in a decent amount of service, about 20 hours a week on top of my job. Am I serious? No. I'm a good member of the congregation. 20 hours, well, I do, seva. 20 hours. Yeah, I'm keeping it in my notebook, actually. Here it is. Electronic, of course, now. On the phone. The records are there. No? There's an app where you can keep track of your how much service you're doing. No. 24 hours. No less. No. Anything less is fallen. If devotional service is not always in 24 hours, then we are fallen, and we're still in a fallen condition. That's the situation. Every aspect of our life must be touched by it and must be reformed. And it doesn't happen all at once. It's not that, okay then, I will be a devotee. All right then, I'll do it. I'll be a devotee. And then it's done. No, it's not. After that it begins a gradual reformation of our life, reorganizing our whole life more and more. First it's about the things you do. You got to change all the things you do. So many habits. I've done it always like this. Sorry, has to change. All right then. Little by little, resistance. But little by little, you have to just fine-tune in the things we do. And that's not all. Then it's about who we are. Then it's about the qualities. Then we are meant. Samo damastapo so chungsanti arjuna ivichokyan vijnanamastikyam brahmakam svabhavajam. We're meant to develop qualities of goodness. That's not so easy to be equipoised. Always, equipoise. Nothing disturbs the mind. Not like, what's wrong with you? I'm totally agitated. No. Always peaceful. Dhamma, sense controlled.
What's that?
The senses are very strong. Yes. No? Control. Not interested. Not interested. It may look good, but it's the illusory energy, because it takes us away from Krishna. Not interested. So, it's an increase. To come to 24 hours, to go from your 20 hours a week for Krishna to 24 hours a day, that's what it takes. Completely. Everything, wherever you are, always, at all times, at work, in school, anywhere. Tough. Prabhupada tells the story about the man who would, that there was a company, a big factory, and many in some village of Vaishnavas, and many were wearing tilak. But then a Muslim owner bought the factory, and he passed an order that no one could wear tilak in that factory. So the workers were crying. It's like, you know, this is like our tradition. You know, it's like, how can we give it up? But the owner was strict and a Muslim, and they were afraid to lose their job. So the next day they cried, and they all came
without Tilak, except one. One man came with Tilak. And he said, like, the owner saw him and said, what? You know, you're wearing Tilak? I gave an order that no one can wear Tilak. He says, look, you know, I'm a good worker. I do my job. And this is part of my private life. This is my religion. Said, and that has nothing to do with my work. Therefore, you know, I have to wear this tilak. Then the owner said, he said, I like you. You're a man of principle. You have some guts. Okay, you can wear tilak, but nobody else can. Prabhupada's story. So what to say? A nice story about a spirit of somehow or other just being different, have the courage to be different, to not compromise, to not hide, to just be a devotee. Yes, I don't drink. No, I don't smoke. Yeah, no, meat, sorry, I can't eat it. No. All these things, let people know. And first they laugh at us, but then after some time, they actually respect us for it. They'll actually respect us. So devotional service, it takes courage. Courage to be different. I saw this yesterday. I saw this picture of Bhakti Tirthamara somewhere on someone's phone, and then I was thinking about Maharaj, and I was thinking that one thing that is one quality that he had was that he was not afraid to be different. And different from what was around him, different from his time. He was ready to stand up for Krishna, and he was not afraid to be different. Oh, but everyone is afraid to be different. Oh my gosh, what would people think? Oh no. Yeah. So this I call the herd syndrome, right? Like the sheep, right? Who look left. What are the other sheep doing? Okay, then we'll also do that. Everyone the same sheep. So, in devotional service, it takes great courage, actually, to be consistent, you know, and just say, no, I choose for Krishna. And not just, yeah, you know, you're young and you're doing it for a while, no. Whole life. Consistent, always choose for Krishna, to be different. These clothes, you know, you cannot wear in Singapore. Right? These clothes you cannot wear in Saudi Arabia. Right? Even Dubai, they won't let you in if you wear these clothes. All right, so if we go to Dubai, you know, I dig up some pants, right, put them on, and a cap or whatever, you know, and just tourist, right, and go in as a tourist, and then once we're in, then sort of quickly change dress. If that's what it takes, we can do. But so many are quickly changing dress to go to a shop. No, because what if people will see? They see us like this. Let them see. Today, it's weekend. It's our day. Today, we can be what we are. Devotees. Yay. No hiding. It's nice to be a devotee. Just be a devotee. What else to be? Forget the karma clothes, They call them karmic clothes. I call them karma clothes. Forget them. Why would you wear them? Clothes that are part of the network of karma. No need. No need. Bhakti. Ah, yes. Vaishnava. Ah, yes. How nice. Vaikuntha man, Prabhupada said. Yes. So I like these things, I must say. Of course. Ultimately, it doesn't matter. What's more important than the dress is the state of the heart. You can dress up very nicely, but that doesn't mean that the state of the heart is Vaishnava. Very kind and very merciful and respectful to all living beings. That is a Vaishnava. Where do you find such a soul? Life after life, we are sinful. We look at the little children and say, ah, the little sweethearts, they're so innocent. Sorry, they're not innocent at all. They're criminals. They may be sweet criminals. They may be lovely criminals, but look, you know, they're criminals. Here they are. There's a whole gang of them here. The criminals. When are you going to stop being a criminal? See, even he still wears his jail clothes with the stripes. Criminals. We are all criminals. The material world is a jail. Durga. Durga means fort, jail. It means dur, difficult, ga, to go. A jail. And Maya locks us in. We are criminals. When will we stop? I went to the Agra jail for a preaching program. It was interesting. You know, they had me, I gave the talk and this, that, and the jailer and all kinds of authorities were there. And anyway, there was kirtan, they liked it, and they really danced in the kirtan. And then at the end, they wanted me to give some prasadam from the stage. So I was standing on the stage and my feet were sort of like high, you know. So it was a setup, obviously. Everyone would try and touch my feet, which, you know, I thought, like, when people touch your feet, you take karma. So I wasn't thinking, well, I'm going to take the karma of the whole jail. That's not, not a great idea. It's not such a good idea. So there was a big harmonium. So what we did, we just put the harmonium sort of like a wall in front of my feet, right? And then they all the criminals came up and held out their hand to get some prasadam. And I'm giving the prasadam. And then while receiving the prasadam, there were some, the other hand would come around the harmonium and take the dust from my feet. And I was saying, those are the thieves. That was clear. They were the thieves, you know. Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah. Jail preaching. You can also do. Yeah. You can do it here in Australia. Jail programs. It's big in America. In India also. Anyway, so to somehow or other bring devotional service to everyone, and if we become an agent of that, then in the process we ourselves become devotees. The quickest way to become a devotee is by trying to help others to become devotees. That is the quickest way, because it attracts the most mercy of Krishna. That's why it's the quickest way. So one who does jail preaching, very smart. Very smart. They get extra mercy of Krishna. One who takes difficulty for Krishna to bring Because the consciousness to people who are not so easily available, see, it's easy to, when you go to the preach to only the Indian community, life is very easy because you just say, we'll have satsang, and everyone says, okay, yes, yes. Tea cat. And they'll bring some bulga as well, everything. Yeah? So it's easy, yeah, because there's a culture. But jail preaching to the mochan. To any volunteers, let us know. Think about that. He looks scared. But Krishna helps. Yeah, jail preaching has been going on since the beginning of this movement. Jayananda, all the devotees, they cooked a big feast and they had the van full of prasadam on the way to the jail. Then Jayananda was such a great devotee. Jayananda said that, maybe we should taste some of the prasadam. Then the cook said, no, it's for the prisoners. And Jayananda said, yeah, but we have to make sure the quality is good. So then just taste a little. They're tasting a little. And they ate everything. They ate everything. There was nothing left. Then they came to the jail. And then the guards at the gate stopped them and said, did you bring any food? It's not allowed. So no, we don't have any. So no problem. So that was transcendental. So jail preaching has been going on for a long time. Anyway.
So this devotional service, that's really what can save all the suffering conditioned souls. In some way or other, we connect people.
Anything connected to Krishna is part of devotional service. Even if people give some donation, devotional service. Anything. Therefore, when anybody offers us something, we must always take it. And then I'll end with one story. So, Prabhupada was in a program, and there was... it was some multi-culti big Indian program. And there was an impersonalist Swami from India. So, Prabhupada, of course, being a devotee, a bhakta, was strongly speaking out against impersonalism. But this Swami, he came at the end and he said, oh, Swamiji, it was so nice, and this, that, I want to offer you a gift. So, Prabhupada said, okay, yes, please. So then he came and he offered a brochure.
He showed Prabhupada this brochure. Prabhupada said, it was like one of those shiny, glossy things. You fold open thing, three parts. And Prabhupada said, oh, very nice, very nice. And then the Swamiji said, yes, yes, I have a whole box for you. He gave him a whole box. And Prabhupada said, very, thank you so much. He said to the devotees, please keep the box. Please keep this box. So the devotees kept the box. And the next Sunday program, there was a Sunday program, and Prabhupada asked for the box. That box with the brochures, we still have. He said, yes, yes, yes. They brought it. Mayavadi brochures. Prabhupada, every lecture, he's speaking against Mayavadis. Mayavadi brochures. Radioactive. They're bringing out the box, right? The Mayavadi brochures. Then Prabhupada says, so, give everyone one of the brochures. Nobody's thinking, what's happening now? We're going to give everybody Mayavadi brochures, but isn't that against, like, Vaishnavism? You know, I mean, how can it be? Then Prabhupada says, so, did everyone get one of the brochures? Everyone says, yes, yes, yes. Then Prabhupada said, all right. Fold it open and put it on the floor in front of you. And then Prabhupada had prasadam served on the brochures. And this was nice. And in this way, he had accepted the gift of the Mayavadi and engaged it in the service of Krishna. So, not only must we accept the gift, but we must engage it in the service of Krishna.
so that that person gets the maximum benefit. Yeah. Like that. All right, any questions now? Any comments?
Mm-hmm. Very nice class, Maharaj. I was just on this point you mentioned, people all over the material world, they're suffering. As Vaishnavas, is it our duty to make people aware that they're suffering, or should we be waiting for them to like come into contact? Because many people, they don't even understand that thinking this is a place of happiness.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Just like this morning, I looked out of the window in Cronulla, and I see all these people lying in the ice-cold water to catch a wave, you know. And Prabhupada used to call these surfers sufferers, right? And, you know, the sufferers, right? And the sufferers are in the water, and it is really like, gosh, even if they would pay me for it, I don't think I would do it, you know?
I mean,
for hours and hours they're lying in the water, and only sometimes they catch a wave. It's not that often, actually, and most of the time it's floating there. So lots of people in the material world think that they don't see how they're suffering because they're conditioned. You know, this is normal. This is the way it is, and this is enjoyment. This is fun. Just like in Amsterdam, we just had our national King's Day festival because the Netherlands is still a monarchy, and orange is the color, and it's a big thing and a big celebration. And then all these fairs come out with these big machines where people go up to a ridiculous height and get spun around really fast upside down, and you're looking at it. These machines are hellish, right? Hellish. And no person in his right mind is going into such a machine. You got to be mad, you know. And the only reason why you would do it is to show off to your friends, you know. I went in there, you know. Otherwise, it's crazy, mad. But this is then some type of twisted happiness. So many examples of so-called happiness. So you can't always tell people they're unhappy. So first there's Agyata Sukriti, the unknown spiritual benefit. Engage them, you know, engage them. Somehow or other, you know, engage them. And then after they've been engaged, then get a little purified, then maybe they can take it. Like Jayananda also would call people. He was building his Rath carts and just call people up the street. Excuse me. Oh, could you give me a hand for a second? Hold this plank. You know, he holds the plank and Jayananda is knocking in the nails. Then Jayananda said, he gives him the hammer and the nails. Would it be possible for you to put in the nails there on that side? And the guy puts in the nails. And then Jayananda says, wow, you're that really expert. Are you a carpenter? What? You're a pro. And next moment, the guy is a member of the Rathkar building team. And then he wants to smoke. And then Jayananda says, wash your hands. Go wash your hands and your mouth. And then Jayananda gives him a lecture how you can't smoke because this is for Krishna. But later he gives them a smoke break, right, somewhere outside. And then he brings nice prasadam for them, and they just all became devotees. And only later on they realized what it was all about. So Agyata Sukriti. First Agyata Sukriti. Lots of them. But when people become conscious and make a conscious choice, I mean, that's a very important point. So at one point we have to give them philosophy and make them understand you're not the body, and so on. Eternal servant of Krishna. But first Agyata Sukriti, therefore even in book distribution, the people that get the book in their hands and then don't take it and give it back, that's okay. That's okay. They get purified by touching the book. Therefore the ones who say no tomorrow are the customers Oh, no, no, today are the customers of tomorrow. You can see it like that. Some people first need the Akyata Sukrit, like that. The unknown spiritual benefit. Hmm.
Maharaj, in your initial years when you became a devotee, what were some of the challenges that you faced personally and how did you overcome those?
Well, at first, I liked Prabhupada's books, and I liked Prabhupada, but I wasn't so sure if I liked the Hare Krishna movement. That was my first dilemma. And then, but then for the sake of Prabhupada, I kind of accepted the Hare Krishna movement, although some things I didn't like. But anyway, I gave up my reservations and became involved with it. And eventually I went to live in a temple, and that of course was kind of intense. And I must say, in the beginning, one moment I thought, it's really good. The next moment I thought, I gotta get out of here. I was going through extremes in my mind. Yeah? Moments that I really wanted to do this, and moments that I really wanted to just run away from it all. And I felt that was overwhelming me. Okay, gradually that settled down. And I decided, well, even if I run away, where to go? There's nowhere to go. Krishna's everywhere, ultimately. And I have to be somewhere. And ultimately, the devotees, the support of the devotees, will help. So I stayed. Still, within this movement, I need some space also. Even today, I need some space, you know, to kind of be the one I am. Right? You know, I have a particular nature, and I need some space for that. Yeah. So I had to look for that. It took a little while to find my space. So okay, here I can stay. Yeah. This I couldn't do everything and anything. I wasn't ready yet for completely unconditional surrender. So I needed a space where I could function. So that's important because we are conditioned. We need to be with some people that we actually like. Sometimes things changed over the years, and sometimes I was with devotees who just had just the opposite vision of that I had. When I thought we should do this for Krishna, they said, no, we shouldn't do this. And then they had an idea, let's do this for Krishna. I was thinking, oh no, and I'm, oh, terrible. So it's like that. So I realized I need to be with like-minded devotees. Yeah? With devotees who sort of share the same... We all want to serve Krishna, but we want to serve Krishna a little bit in the same way that I like to do it. Yeah. So I can be happy, need some happiness in Krishna consciousness. Little happiness helps. Makes life easier to last. So we need some friends. As the movement became a bigger movement, it lost its original spirit of being like a family, of being like a group of friends. And instead it became like a society, and sort of the members of the society became like colleagues. And the mood between colleagues is very different than between family or friends, you see. Because with colleagues, it's like, you know, I mean, get it together, all right, you know. I mean, pull up your socks, or what, you know. You know, I mean, really, you're holding us up, you know. You're disturbing the whole functioning of the whole thing. And if you don't get it together, we'll replace you. With a colleague, you know, that sort of mood is there. Whereas with a family, what can you do? Even if your brother is half-cracked, what can you do? He's still your brother, you know. So that's the nature of family relationships. So we need family relationships and not colleague relationships. And that's very important, that we have these friendships and these personal relationships. So where I find that, there I can stay. And where I don't find that, then time to go. Like that. But sometimes you have to accept, you know, you live in a particular place, and you have no choice. All right. Then somehow or other, do it with these devotees, because we depend on devotees. Without devotees, because the devotees are the caretakers of devotional service. And if you have to take care of devotional service all by yourself, yesterday we were reading that Lord Chaitanya would daily go in the forest and then chant and dance all by himself. Now for us that's a little difficult, right? It's like when I came, I saw the devotees dancing, yeah? And that's nice when you're together. But you're doing that also when you're all alone? Sometimes I dance through the room all by myself, I do. But still, the interaction with devotees makes it more ecstatic. So we need the devotees. All right, thank you. Oh, another hand, very determined one.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna to you too.
Maharaj, we are very grateful to you.
That's kind of you.
One thing I would like to remind you, when you came first to Vamanakshetra for Damodar program, we requested your association. By Krishna's mercy, you are again here. Thank you very much for that. But there is one more request, Prabhu.
Uh-oh.
The request is, we need your association again. A 3-hour kirtan at Vamanakshetra.
3 hours?
Yes, Prabhu, we are all are looking forward for your kirtan.
I see.
Come again and bless us with your kirtan.
Achcha. kirtan.
It can begin now, Maharaj.
Well, you can come tonight. It will be in Karnada. It will be big kirtan. You are invited. It's not so far. I just came from there. And it's like, we don't have spiritual bodies, unfortunately, so also not spiritual voices. So too much singing then. The voice cracks, right? So that's the problem. So tonight it will be big kirtan. If you want, you can come. I'll come to your place also for kirtan. But it may have to wait a little bit because they asked first. So you're in queue now.
Thank you very much, Maharaj.
Okay. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gantara Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.
Isavena Skadambakanan Maharaj ki jai.